My name is Susan Cosio. I'm the pastor of spiritual formation. I'm also a hospital chaplain and a spiritual director. I can't believe it's already the first week of February. So I have to ask, how are your New Year's resolutions going? Maybe about like mine? I have a son and a daughter-in-law who are CrossFit athletes. So I have this idea that somehow I could lose a few pounds and get in really great shape so I could look like them. I mean, can you imagine it? Never mind that I'm older than both of them put together. I have an image in my mind of what kind of shape I want to be in. So 5 weeks into the new year, I have lost 5 weeks. The reality is that to be physically transformed, I have to do more than make New Year's resolutions or have an image of how I want things to be. I need to pay attention to how much I eat and what I put into my mouth as I also continue to get regular exercise. And I think spiritual growth and transformation are like that in many ways. We can't expect to grow in our faith and become closer in our relationship to God if we don't engage in regular spiritual exercises like prayer, Bible study, fellowship, and worship. Jesus described the Word of God as his sustenance, literally his food for his body and his spirit. 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17 says, "All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip us to do every good work." But we have to do more than just read the Bible superficially or half-heartedly, kind of skimming the surface. I think we have to meditate on it, chew on it, digest it, and then apply it. Unlike physical exercise, which may help us look better on the outside, spiritual formation and transformation is really mostly interior work. My mom has a sign in her living room that says, "Happiness is an inside job." I would say that transformation is also an inside job. And it isn't all about us working diligently and working harder. Pastor John pointed out a couple of weeks ago that we really can't get there on our own. Spiritual transformation is work done by and with the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 64:8 says, "God is the potter and we are the clay." We are literally shaped and formed by God's hands. So this morning we are continuing in our sermon series on the book of Romans. And the passage we're looking at specifically is Romans 11:36 to 12:2. And I want to read that passage for you. "For everything comes from God and exists by God's power and is intended for God's glory. All glory to God forever. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all God has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind God will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." Now, I'm going to take a moment and read it again, slowly, because I want us to meditate on it, to let it sink in. And I invite you to even close your eyes as I read it the second time and just listen for what the passage may be saying to you. "For everything comes from God and exists by God's power and is intended for God's glory. All glory to God forever. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all God has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind God will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Amen. Now, this passage is about several different things, I think, all wrapped into just a few verses. It's about wholehearted, worshipful living. It's about not conforming to the standards of the world. It's about being transformed spiritually from the inside. And it's about discerning God's will for us. And I think most of us want these things, don't we? We want to be transformed. We want to grow into the people God created us to be. We want to know God's will and live it out wholeheartedly. But the problem is we're not really sure how to do it. So I'd like to highlight four things that I see in this passage that I think can help us to experience spiritual growth and transformation. The four things that I notice Paul calling us to are commitment, committing our lives wholeheartedly to God, coordinated, integrated lives, lives where our minds, our spirits, and our hearts are in alignment, a clear focus on God, and a community of faith. So it all starts with commitment. Now, I'm not talking, again, about working hard, but I'm talking about deepening our trust in God so that we can relinquish control, placing ourselves in submission to the Holy Spirit so the Spirit can work in us. Paul says, give your bodies to God because of all God has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind God will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship God. Now think for a minute about those aspects of your life that you find hardest to relinquish. Areas of your life where maybe you like to maintain control. Now think of what it means to sacrifice, to turn those things over, to relinquish those things. Because sacrifice isn't about giving God our leftovers, but about offering God every precious part of our lives. In Matthew 16:24, from the Message version, Jesus says, anyone who intends to follow me has to let me lead. You're not in the driver's seat. I am. So the second thing we must commit to for transformation is coordinated, integrated lives. Jesus tells his disciples that this is the most important commandment. You shall love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Now, in Hebrew and Greek, the biblical languages, faith and belief are not something that are just intellectual, not just in our thoughts and in our minds, but belief, faith means that we live it out with our hearts, our minds, and our actions. Sometimes I know I'm tempted to give God only part of my life. Like maybe, you know, Sunday, the seventh day, the Sabbath. But God wants me every day. God wants my whole heart. God wants our whole lives. My husband is a big fan of Willie Nelson, and I can still remember him singing to our kids when they were little. And he used to sing that song, all of me, why don't you take all of me? Well, God literally says, yes, I will. There's also an old hymn by Frances Havergal. Now, don't worry, I won't try to sing it. But the lyrics are profound. They say, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in endless praise. I have to wonder if that song was based upon our passage today. And really, the most important part of developing an integrated, faithful life is that we must be in sync with the Holy Spirit. The passage says, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. A few years ago, my husband Geb and I and some friends had the opportunity to travel to Italy. And one of the places we went to was Assisi. Now, Assisi is not a very big town, but there are lots of chapels in it. And I found my favorite chapel in all of Assisi was one that was very simple, kind of bare. And I sat in that chapel on the wooden pew, and I looked up at this simple cross. And as I was sitting there, I felt myself hearing the words of Jeremiah 29:13. If you seek me, you will find me, if you seek me with all of your heart. Now, later that evening, I was talking with my friend Melissa, who was also on the trip. And she'd been sitting in that chapel at the same time that I was. And I started to tell her that I'd heard some words, and she said, "You mean this verse?" And she showed it to me, Jeremiah 29:13. If you seek me, you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. And we wondered, why in the world are we hearing this particular verse, both of us? We've been Christians for a long time. We don't categorize ourselves as seekers. And then we thought, you know, maybe we've spent a lot of our lives seeking after God by trying to understand God, by reading, by trying to grow. And Jesus was inviting us to seek him with our hearts. When we live with integrity as Christians, it isn't about a list of things we don't do, like I don't cheat, I don't lie, I don't cuss. Integrity is about wholeheartedly living out what we say we believe. So our faith and our actions are in alignment. I should be the same person when I'm working as a chaplain at the hospital, or when I'm teaching at the church, or buying fruit at farmer's market, or working out at the gym. That's what integrity is. So how do we live as people of integrity? I think it begins with the clear and consistent focus that Paul invites us to in our passage. Focus on God and God's truth so we aren't distracted by all the words, patterns, and ways of thinking. There are so many opinions and perspectives out there. I mean, the news, Facebook, Instagram, politicians, Dr. Fauci, Oprah. I mean, many sources eager to tell us the truth according to that. I have found the past 2 years to be especially confusing. In all the midst of everything going on, like, who am I supposed to listen to? I do think the pandemic has helped us in some ways because it has exposed some of the false assumptions we may have had about the world, and perhaps it's even clarified our values as we've asked ourselves what really is essential. But as a spiritual director and a pastor and a chaplain, I often meet with people who tell me they find it hard to discern God's will for their lives. And I get it, but honestly, I don't think that it's God's truth that is that confounding. Confusing. I think the lies of the world are too distracting. And I think that's the way Satan likes it. But Satan likes to trip us up by distorting God's truth. I mean, he did that from the very beginning. Remember, he whispered in Eve's ear, "Did God really say not to eat from that tree?" I think he does the same to us. Did God really say? We get a lot of mixed messages from our world. And frankly, most of them are just not God's truth. Did you know that bank tellers, in learning to recognize counterfeit bills, do not look at every possible version of fake money? It would be impossible. There are too many different ways to counterfeit money. So what they do is they handle and look at legitimate money over and over again so that when they come across a fake bill, they can recognize it. In a time of collective confusion and chaos, I think we have one source to go to for truth, and that's the Bible. But when we focus on God's truth, we can discern God's will and distinguish the lies of the world. finally, I think that spiritual growth occurs within a transforming community. Now, in the verses we looked at today, Paul doesn't specifically mention community, but all of the book of Romans is really written within the context of community. In fact, one of Paul's primary purposes in writing the letter to the Romans, was to encourage the Jewish and Gentile believers to work together to build up Christian community that glorifies God by focusing on God's truth. Now, Paul was writing from Corinth, which was a hotbed of sexual immorality and idol worship. So when he wrote to the Romans about sinfulness of humanity and the power of God's grace to transform lives, he knew what he was talking about. He'd seen it all. So Paul calls his readers, including us, to community so that we can stay faithful in the midst of a complex world. I believe that community is crucial. It's certainly been crucial in my own life because who we spend time with really has an impact on shaping us. We've all seen those photographs of dogs who look a lot like their owners or spouses who start to look alike after many years of marriage. Or living in Davis, we see sorority sisters near campus that are all dressed the same. We become like those we spend time with. So just an aside to you teenagers, that's why your parents care who you hang out with. Because we become like the people we spend time with. It's nice to be popular. It may feel good to be stylish or trendy or be up on all the current events or fashion or music or the latest version of the iPhone. But the risk is in the same way that I may try to lose weight to fit into a dress, we may conform to the patterns of the world around us to try to fit in, because we want to be accepted. To conform literally means to take the shape of. It's like metal or plaster that are poured into a casting mold on an assembly line so that we can produce a consistent product that meets set standards. We as human beings may feel pressured to conform to meet the standards and expectations around us. But Paul says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Again, there is an emphasis on transformation being God's work. Paul says, let God transform you. We must relinquish control so that God can work in us. Sit still long enough that he can shape us. As Christians, the person we want to be like is Jesus. We want to keep in step with him. We are Christ followers. But the only way to be like Jesus is to spend time with him so that we can know and reflect him. And I believe that one of the most important ways that we can do this is by spending time in Christian community focused on God's word. In John 17, Jesus prayed for his disciples collectively, and this really is a prayer for us. Jesus says to God, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them, God, by the truth. Your word is truth. Now, sadly, I know that some of us have been exposed to hurtful lies that have distorted our sense of God and perhaps our concept of ourselves. We've come from dysfunctional families, or even abusive faith communities, or we've felt a lot of pressure from our highly competitive, achievement-oriented culture. We may fear that we just don't measure up. God's truth is the primary corrective for this distortion. It's a healing balm to our hearts and our minds and our spirits. Experiencing God's love and truth in community can be a powerful way to unlearn the lies that have been embedded in our hearts. When I was a child, I had the chicken pox along with my siblings, but I ended up contracting encephalitis, which is a significant and serious inflammation of the brain. And I had to be hospitalized for some time. Now, at that time, you know, eons ago, visitation policies were very, very strict, kind of like during COVID. So my parents could not come to the hospital much to visit me, and my siblings couldn't come at all. And I remember spending a lot of time alone. I was 6 years old. So I was kind of traumatized by that experience. And I realized later as an adult that I had kind of internalized a sense of abandonment because of that experience. But you know, a few years ago, I had really a transforming experience as I was reading scripture and I was journaling, and I felt God invite me to look back at that time in my life. I could easily visualize that hospital room. I could tell you what it smells like. I could tell you what the nurse's shoes sounded like squeaking on the floor. But when I closed my eyes and imagined that scene again, I saw something different this time. I noticed Jesus was standing next to my hospital bed. And do you know that that transformed my memory? It actually removed any sense of abandonment because I saw the truth differently. I saw Jesus was with me. God was with me even in those moments. I was never abandoned. In fact, God knew when I was 6 years old that I would one day work in a hospital as a chaplain and come alongside even children who are hospitalized. Transformation really is possible. Our part is to place our lives into God's hands and let the Spirit do the work. In fellowship with one another, as we seek to love God and love one another, we can encourage those committed, integrated lives, clear focus on God and the scriptures that can lead to spiritual growth and transformation. And one of the ways we can do this is through small group Bible studies or life groups. So if you're not already in one of those communities, I encourage you to find one where you can experience growth. I'll also be facilitating a couple of new groups this month that are designed to create space for transformation as we study the book of 1 John. And there's information about those groups in the program for this week. I want to close by rereading the passage from Romans again, because these words are more important than any words that I have said or will say. But this time I'm going to read it to you from the Message version. So hear these words. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for God. Don't become so well-adjusted to your culture that you fit in without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what God wants for you from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best of you and develops well-formed maturity in you. Let's pray. God, I just thank you so much that you love us enough to come alongside us the way we are, but that you also love us to want more for us. And I pray that we would find community, that we would find connection with you, and that we would allow ourselves to be transformed by you for your glory and neighbor's good. Amen.